You are listening to This Week in Cardiology from HeartWire, brought to you by RadioTheHeart.org.
Welcome to this week's episode. I'm Catherine Vassilopoulos. Today I'll be covering major stories in cardiology for the week ending December 19th, 2014. In our first story, sex after MI. Few are counseled and most want to learn. Next up, CRP levels are tied to statin effects on contrast nephropathy in the Prato ACS analysis. A little later in the news, a new analysis points to bleeding risks from anticoagulation bridging in atrial fibrillation. And finally, a UK study reveals early and late menarche raises CV risk in senior women. Stay tuned for all this and more, but first, here are the highlights from our top story. A new study shows that few patients report receiving counseling regarding the resumption of sexual activity after an acute MI, even when it occurs between the ages of 18 and 55. And of those who do receive counseling, restrictions are commonly given that are not supported by evidence or guidelines. The prospective longitudinal Virgo study was carried out at 127 hospitals in the U.S. and in Spain. It was designed in part to evaluate gender differences in baseline sexual activity, function, and patient experience with physician counseling about sexual activity after an acute MI. It was published online December 15th in Circulation. Lead author Dr. Stacy Tesler-Lindau told HeartWire this is the first study where the 18 to 55-year-old group was specifically looked at, where about one-fifth of all heart attacks occur. Researchers expected that rates of counseling would be higher for younger people, that there would be just a general bias toward physicians being more open to discuss this issue with younger people. But what they found was that rates of counseling were lower than they were in their prior study in older adults. And what concerns the researchers is that people are resuming their sexual activity with little information, or in some cases misinformation, about what's safe and what to look for. Despite restrictions given by physicians, two-thirds of patients who did receive recommendations indicated that they were completely satisfied with those they received. If you would like to read the complete story details, we invite you to visit us online at theheart.org on Medscape. Please stay tuned for our next story. In patients with non-ST segment elevation ACS who are about to undergo cardiac catheterization, early administration of high-dose rosuvastatin protects against contrast-induced acute kidney injury, or AKI, especially in those with higher baseline levels of CRP. This according to the Prato ACS study. Dr. Anna Toso said, in this series of NSTE ACS patients, this study confirms previous clinical and experimental studies showing that high levels of systemic and/or local or renal inflammation may contribute to the development of acute kidney injury after contrast medium exposure. Moreover, it adds another piece of information that the higher the baseline CRP levels, the higher the contrast-induced AKI and adverse renal and cardiovascular event rates, and the higher the benefits of on-admission rosuvastatin administration. Measuring baseline CRP levels and correlating this with other comorbidities, levels of other inflammatory markers, and the extent of myocardial damage can identify the NSTE ACS patients who have a higher risk of contrast-induced nephropathy, she noted. The findings of the Prato ACS study were published online December 16th in JACC Cardiovascular Interventions. The full details of this story can be found online at theheart.org on Medscape. Our next story is coming right up. Stay tuned. An observational report based on the ORBIT-AF study shows patients with atrial fibrillation who are bridged with low molecular weight heparin or unfractionated heparin during procedures requiring an interruption of oral anticoagulation are at a higher risk of adverse events than patients who are not bridged. At 30 days, patients treated with bridging therapy were nearly four times more likely to have a major bleed or to be hospitalized for bleeding. In addition, individuals who received short-term anticoagulant bridging had a significantly higher risk of stroke, MI, major bleeding, hospitalization, or death within 30 days of the procedure that required the interruption of chronic anticoagulation. Lead investigator Dr. Benjamin Steinberg said patients who get oral anticoagulation almost invariably have it stopped at some point over the period of their treatment, whether it's because they're not tolerating it, they have a bleeding episode, or as in this analysis, they're undergoing a procedure. He said the management in and around those stoppages, whether temporary or not, is a major unanswered question. The researchers found the interruption of oral anticoagulation was common over a 2-year follow-up period, with 30% of patients stopping warfarin or dabigatran because of procedures that ranged from cardiac surgery to dental work, and that approximately 1 in 4 patients received bridging with low molecular weight heparin or unfractionated heparin. The report was published December 12th in Circulation, and you can read all the story details if you go online at theheart.org on Medscape. Stay tuned for our final story. Women in their 60s and 70s who had their first menstrual period when they were much younger or older than the average age of 13 have an independently elevated risk of cardiovascular events. This, according to an analysis based on the UK Million Women study. The study found that there was a U-shaped association between age of menstrual onset and subsequent death or hospitalization from CAD, stroke, or complications of hypertension in middle age. The relationship was consistent among women from all socioeconomic groups, whether they were lean, overweight, or obese, or current or past smokers or non-smokers. Lead author Dr. Dexter Kanoy said the findings suggest that women's reproductive health may influence their long-term vascular health, which may become apparent when they reach middle age. The study is the first that is large enough to reliably quantify the vascular outcomes in midlife that are associated with early and late puberty in women, but the mechanism remains unknown, he noted. Moreover, he said, the impact of time of menarche is not as great as from other well-established risk factors, which should remain the focus of preventive efforts. Factors such as hypertension, high blood pressure, smoking, and weight control. Nevertheless, this study draws attention to the fact that childhood obesity, which is linked with early puberty, is increasing, and the age of a woman's first menstrual period is getting lower. Thus, according to Dr. Kanoy, it is possible that in the future, more women will develop heart disease as a result of having had early menarche. Public health strategies aimed at tackling childhood obesity could potentially reduce this trend of a lower average age of a woman's first menstrual cycle, which may in turn reduce the risk of developing heart disease. The analysis was published online December 15th in Circulation. And the complete story details are waiting for you online at theheart.org on Medscape. Also in the news this week, coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland, the U.S. FDA has approved the plaque test, a screening test that measures serum lipoprotein-associated phospholipase A2, or LPPLA2 for short, for the assessment of coronary heart disease risk in patients without existing disease. LPPLA2 is a vascular-specific inflammatory enzyme. The plaque test is useful in predicting CHD risk in women, particularly African-American women. And finally, news from Boston. A review of studies examining the benefits of yoga suggests the ancient practice provides significant benefits on cardiovascular risk factors, including LDL cholesterol and systolic blood pressure. And that's the news. Thank you for listening to this HeartWire podcast brought to you by theheart.org on Medscape. I'm Catherine Vassilopoulos, inviting you to join me again in the new year for more cardiology news. Have a happy and healthy holiday season. And wishing you a happy new year 2015 from all of us here at HeartWire and the Medscape team.
You've been listening to This Week in Cardiology from HeartWire. Visit theheart.org to read our complete coverage.